It's probably just part of the morning routine. You know, you get up, you go grab the eggs, you bring
some butter.
Churn that butter.
Yeah, are chickens like round the clock egg producers, or is it
round the clock?
Scotch.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 184 of Coffee with Butterscotch, the game dev comedy podcast, Butterscotch Shenanigans. I'm Seth, and I'm the game's programmer.
I'm Adam, and I'm a decrepit old man.
I'm Sam, and I'm the resolution bricker.
And this is a show where talk about...
Resolution bricker?
Bricker. He bricks.
Yeah, a bricker. You got to build him up like a house.
You got to build him up.
You try to replace the firmware.
Yeah.
And then you fuck it up.
Yep.
And then it turns into a brick. Exactly. Oh, sorry. Profanity warning. Oh, God.
Profanity warning.
Hello.
Hopefully you stopped listening if you're sensitive before this. Also, today is December 31, 2018, also known as New Year's Weave, where you take the threads of life from the past year.
You try to put them together into a coherent.
You try to turn it into a tapestry of improvement in the future. Also, before we get started with the episode, we'd like to thank our supporters over at moneygrab.bscotch.net, with whose money we keep
with whomst money. Yes.
We keep the podcast going. Mm-hmm. We also have a new supporter, Gil Amran, who said, "Love the podcast and your games." Smiley face.
Thanks, Gil. Smiley face.
He made one of those smiley faces that has a hyphen for a nose, which I'm not sure if I like those more or less.
I hate them.
Sam hates them.
I despise them.
I'm not into it.
I've never seen a person with a line for a nose.
Yeah, but also the normal smiley face has no nose. So
often have you seen that?
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's a little more comforting to me for some reason than a line nose person.
Mm. Okay. So the jury's out, I guess, on whether.
Well, the jury's very in on my side.
Sam's jury is sort of stacked.
I just, calling for execution. It's something about the height of the face.
I think that's what it is. Know? The proportion's all weird.
The mouth is very wide.
Yeah.
And because then the face gets tall, then you're thinking, is this some kind of a tall, pear-shaped head?
Yeah.
Kind of a person.
It's like a Joker.
Kind of a Joker situation.
Yeah. As soon as you put the nose in there, you have too much reference for how
it gets too close to it. It's in the uncanny
valley.
That's
what it is.
Well, because also it's easy to forget unless you try to draw a face that your eyes are basically like right in the center of your dang head, you know? It's like your eyes are in the center and then there's forehead like for a mile, right? Which you really don't notice until you just really look and you're like, what the hell? Like your foreheads eyes are in the middle of your head.
Foreheads are dragging.
So now imagine these tall ass faces because they don't have a forehead on them either. They got the eyes, they got the line for the nose, and they got the mouth, right? That means they're twice as tall as that, which is just this infinite like cone heads, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like my cone head smiley faces.
Mile head forehead.
What if the parenthesis is actually its chin and the hyphen is a vertical mouth?
So it's like a fish face.
Some kind of a demon thing.
Sort of a situation.
In that case, it's probably fine.
Send us demon face is all you want. Yeah. That sounds great.
All right, so what's happened this past week in the studio? Literally nothing. We've been off. We've been off for the past week.
It's been nice.
We don't take a lot of breaks.
The last time we were in the studio was to record the last episode of the podcast.
So what did you guys do?
What did we do
over it's been break? Like 10 days.
I caught up on some shows. I played some games. I slept. I got caught up on my sleep.
That's good.
I did a bunch of journaling. I found this thing called Penzu, P-E-N-Z-U, which is a web app for journaling.
Is it a zoo with an umlaut or some sort of a bar or anything?
No, just a U. Okay. Just a lonely U with no dot buddies.
So it's not a Penza.
It's not a creepy face all of its own in terms of emoticons. Gotcha.
Because I was doing my, journaling and morning pages and stuff by hand. And then I realized I write so infrequently now that every time I write with my hand cramps. And also I forget where the lines go on the letters. You know what I mean? Like you start writing and you're like, I don't know.
I actually started doing this thing now where when I handwrite, I'll put a letter from a future word, the first letter of the future word into the end of the current word that I'm writing. Because I'm just ready to be there.
I do that while speaking.
Or I skip letters.
You do that while speaking?
Yeah. A word that I'm going to say later just appears all of a sudden.
It gets in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes I miss letters because I'm done with this word. I don't want to write this word anymore. And I start writing three letters ahead and then it's over now.
Yep. I find that the best way to write for that reason is to use the first letter, draw line, first letter, draw line, first letter, draw line. I'm not going to go read that.
You're trying to get it.
Yeah.
I'm just trying
so
to get
you could
out.
Just write an acronym. Really.
You can write anything.
Yeah. So I was writing by hand, but I kind of hit this crossroads where I thought this is the only time that I write by hand is journaling. So I could either, keep this tradition alive and keep working on my hand muscle memory and slowly cramp my way through writing a page every morning. Mm-hmm. Or I could just
type it.
Move into the future mm-hmm. and abandon the idea of being capable of writing with my hands. mm-hmm. And I think that's where I'm at now because it's 2019.
Yeah. It's the place to be.
Yeah. So I switched over to this Penzu thing. And now I'm journaling every day. It encrypts your shit and then it puts it into a lockbox.
It's good because that way no one can break into your room and steal your journal, you know, and open it and share it with the rest of the class.
Yeah.
You know?
And by no one, you mean probably somebody.
Somebody.
Yeah.
And it'll just be a bunch of nonsense that they can't read mm-hmm. until they hack it and then they'll read it.
Is it encrypted using a password that only you know?
Yes.
That isn't stored on their servers or anything?
Well, they encrypt it, and then you can also put even more password protection okay. on individual entries if you want to, or on an entire journal. Mm. So you can layer it deep as you want.
Yeah.
Well, too deep.
And the kids these days will never know the horror of having someone find your diary and read it out loud because it'll just be encrypted, you know?
Well, that's what Facebook is. I feel like there's
– Facebook is just doing that on purpose.
Yeah, kids – kids these days,
they don't actually understand the concept of privacy.
They don't understand what it means to have a thought and keep it to yourself. Right. That's just a cultural thing. That's an artifact of our time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just shutting your mouth and not letting people know every single thing. Mm-hmm. How you feel about the bagel you had today? All that stuff. So I've been doing that. It's been great. I feel like I've done some good sort of mental processing about the past year and all that. So. Good. Yeah. What about you guys?
Did my usual sort of resolution questing and stuff like that. So same idea. Look at the last year, sort of tally it all up, figure out where the holes are, try to patch them up for next year, sort of a thing.
You got a brick lay.
Yeah, I laid a bunch of resolution bricks because I'm building a brick house, mm-hmm. you know, for my life. Mm-hmm. And so that was really good. But the interesting thing was I actually finished all that basically on Sunday. So within 2 days of being on break, I had actually done sort of like the really big stuff that the break was for. And so then I cycled through playing.
Sunday meaning a week ago.
Meaning 2 days into break.
Yeah, oh, right, right.
Yeah. And so it was interesting because I was.
So you could have done that on any weekend.
Yeah, I could have done it on any weekend.
Yeah, you'd have to wait a whole year.
But it's interesting that you said what the break was for. Mm-hmm. You said you finished what the break was for two days into it. So how did you decide what the break was for?
I sat down before the break and I was like, here's what the break's for.
You did that the weekend before
but
that?
But you just grossly misunderestimated the type
of – Yeah, I misunderestimated everything because then my other goal was just to play a bunch of video games. And so I had a bunch of my Steam library and some other stuff that I wanted to kind of, you know, cycle through some of my platformers to see new stuff for Levelhead. And none of them quite actually grabbed me by the face, mm-hmm. which is what I usually look
for. And
you
tried an Oculus.
That would be – Every single game would grab you by the face at that point.
Yeah, even if the game sucks.
But so it was a really good break, but I found a few new games I liked, and also just kind of just from playing some of the games that are out now, got some more ideas. Mainly actually just for effects and stuff. Nothing big in terms of like designs or anything, but just little sort of things I was noticing that certain games do. I played the new Super Smash Bros. And if you watch their ready screen. Because they have that, you select your fighter, right? And then it's like ready. And then it shows this, it's sort of like diagonally is popping out from the back left of the screen, if you can imagine that. So it kind of feels like it recedes into space. Hmm. It says ready in these big letters. And then when you hit it, they spawn like a darkness at the back left corner. And then they sort of blow it out to the right. So it just feels really, really dynamic and fun.
I can't picture any of that.
I'm trying.
Adam can't picture anything.
Just look at it. Yeah.
I do have that handicap.
Yeah, look it up on YouTube. So it's just that sort of thing. I feel like I've just been trying to pay a little more attention to how people are doing some of these polish points because we're kind of getting to that level with Levelhead. So
yeah,
pretty excited to bring that into the new year.
Yes.
How was it for you?
I've mostly just identified some problems, but I have no solutions yet. Mm. So that's kind of where I am. I'm in step one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the problem space.
Well, it's still 2018, so I mean.
So you have one day.
Yeah, you got a whole day to figure that shit out.
That actually was my plan. I was actually going to, last night when we got home, I went to Grinnell to visit her dad's. When I got home, my plan was to sit down and do that. But I felt so terrible.
From driving.
Yeah, I had the same. I was like, yep, I'm going to get home. I'm going to make my plan for the week, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I went home and went to bed.
And then my cat was just screaming. Mm-hmm. No, so this is what she always does. Every time we've been gone for a while, it's like I assume she actually is just doing this all day while we're gone, just like wandering the house screaming. Right. And it takes her a while to figure out that we're home now, you know? And so
and it's fine now.
And maybe fine. She's using, maybe she has sonar, you know, maybe she's like a bat.
Yeah, she's trying to find us. Yeah. Well, I mean, she'll see us. Like, we'll lock eyes and then go around the corner and start doing it again as if she's forgotten.
She's like, they're gone.
Mm. So we had to get over that phase too, which took a while. And then by that time I was just like, I'm just going to read a book and go to bed.
So you kind of have this constant, almost like a fire alarm kind of screaming in the background. Yeah. That's going to burn you out real quick. Yep. See that? Yep.
I think she has recovered now though. So that should be fine. So when we get today, after we get done with the podcast and I get back home, I'm going to actually sit down and start making some plans. But I love it. There's just kind of a, you know, we've been in the studio talking a lot about what we want to do next year. Which we don't, and we don't know, so we're not going to talk about it here because we don't know what we want to do. But so that's also, I have to try to figure out, there's like myself and there's the studio. There's what I want for the studio, what I want for myself inside the studio, what I want for myself as a human being, generally, unrelated to the studio. And I got to figure out just what all the parts of those are that I really care about and want to tackle, because there's actually a lot of it. And I don't think you need to know the answers. You don't need to say, I definitely want this to happen or to be this person or whatever. It's mostly just about kind of identifying some next steps.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what I just need to play with that stuff in my brain pan and figure out what next.
Brain pan. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was sift for gold.
Yeah. So for next year, so you don't know yet. So you kind of.
I do not know.
Figuring it out. My plan is I'm going to set some general targets of things to work toward. So last year, I think I did the goal fog thing, which is like learn piano, which is not a doable thing.
Instead of be able to play this song
by this date.
Right. Yeah. Right. Which actually I think it's a fine goal as long as you approach it in the right way.
Yeah.
Because if you're not thinking about it as a goal, but more as an activity, right? Because that's what it is. Right. You're just going to be learning this thing.
It's more like a header.
But it's
piano,
not.
Piano. Yeah.
It's not something you can ever check off.
Right. But then even still, it shouldn't be learn piano. It should be practice piano X hours a week or whatever.
And so I realized, though, that no matter what the goal is, it doesn't matter if you don't have good practices around working toward goals.
Correct.
So instead of all that, I've got a couple of vague kind of loose targets. And instead, my plan for the year is every Sunday do weekly planning and do morning pages every day. Because if I do those things
– right. Those are the atomized pieces.
Right. Those are the foundational pieces that I hope keep me on track and keep me thinking about whether I'm doing shit right. It's kind of like the making your bed every day. You know, it's establishing a good foundational framework of habits. Yep. So that's going to be my focus.
Yeah. I think it's the thing a lot of people do, I think, is the planning phase is so exciting because you're like, oh, next year.
You're envisioning all the – how great it's going
to be. And it's like, well, maybe just focus on the bottom thing that you need to be doing.
You know, that does bring us to the theme for the year.
That's true.
You know? Yeah.
So we had a lot of discussion amongst ourselves this past week. We saw some discussion in the podcast channel, in the Discord. And what did we decide?
Well, so the top contenders was 20 Refined Teen. Which was suggested by Jim Grimley / Gabe in the Discord, which is a good one because it's sort of like keep getting better, keep working on stuff, trying to improve, right? Refine everything. And then we have something like 20 Climb Teen, which is sort of keep moving up, right? And then the one that we had from last week was 20 Grind Teen that we all kind of liked the most. And 20 Grind Teen was like, just get shit done. Mm-hmm. You know, buckle down and do it.
Buckle down and sharpen your nose.
Sharpen your nose. Mm-hmm. So what do we think?
Well, we had a 40-minute discussion before the podcast started about this, actually. Yeah.
And we settled on 20 Grind Teen.
That's it.
Though we know that to many, perhaps most people, that sounds negative.
Because it's a grind.
It's a grind. It's a grind.
And that's actually part of why we chose it.
Yeah.
Because we need you to reframe in your brain.
What does it mean?
The concept of a grind and that is negative. In a game even. We talked about this quite a bit this year on the podcast. In a game, sometimes you need the grind to make the other stuff exciting, you know?
Yeah.
And in life, sometimes you need the grind because that's the only way things get done.
Yep. And if you're so thinking about it as a bad thing, then you're not going to get shit done. You're
not going to get anything done because the moment it gets boring, if you're like, I'm going to go do something else now. Or if the moment it gets hard, you say, I'm a dumb idiot. I can't do this because then you stop.
Right.
then you just never get to finish anything. Yeah. So this year it's all about the, and also we're in that stage of level head right now where it's also all about the grind. Yep.
Yeah.
And so it and just feels very appropriate.
If you think you can learn a new skill, if you think you can create a giant project without the grind,
you're wrong.
Yeah. So this year is about learning to love the grind.
Yeah.
Buckle down, get shit done. It's 20 grind team.
Yep. Love the grind. Love yourself.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah, that's nice.
I like it.
Yep, that's it.
All right.
But on that note, if when you're making your New Year's resolutions, mm-hmm. you should be making your New Year's grinds.
Yeah. Mm. What am I going to be doing just to the max all
because
the time?
Unless if none of those things end up being a habit, you're not going to do them. You're not going to finish those things.
So I want to speak about something interesting on this, which is that my wife was completing a commission for her painting this past couple weeks. And ended up basically needing to put in literally all of her hours. All of her waking hours had to be going at this painting because it was a huge painting and had a lot of small things in it. So there's just like an infinite number of things to do. And she started waking up basically earlier and earlier over the course of like 3 weeks. And by the time it was done, was literally painting at the easel 7 to 7, if not a little bit longer mm-hmm. every day with a little bit of break to eat something. And of course, you know, she started feeling like she was a crazy person by the end of it because it was kind of a lot. So you don't want to do these things for ever. But it was really interesting because the day she finished, you know, there's this big like, oh, yes, like this big sense of relief. And then the very next day she wakes up, we make some breakfast and stuff and we're chatting. And then she's like, I kind of feel like I need to paint today.
Yep, that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Because essentially it built this habit that was so powerful, actually.
Yeah, well, and it forced you to get over the whole idea that this was work and so it's something you don't want to do and that this is something that sucks. And all. I mean, and we did this as we were building the studio.
Yeah.
We worked a crazy amount.
Yep.
And I mean, and we still work a lot, but it's not – it really
I've
is
generally
like
been was. Working 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. For the past month. So it's still, we still work
a lot, but it still isn't like those first couple of years.
Yeah.
Where it was just, I mean, every single weekend, every single day I would wake up, I would start working and then I would
go to bed.
Yeah. And I did that before that too, when I was in grad school and even before that. And that was really what set me on that path of just really loving the work. And it was by just leaning into the grind.
Well, we've had an interesting discussion about this, which is that the reality is that you don't like things that you're bad at.
Yeah.
So the grind is just you getting to a point. You have to grind through that early piece so that you can actually be good at the thing, which then allows you to just enjoy doing it. So mm-hmm. like this has happened to me with the art practice. It's happened with our game making stuff. The better you get at it, the easier it is to just sit down and start doing it because you know something good's going to come out and also because you start finding it fun. But up until that point, like that's what I mean with the piano practice. It's the same thing. Where it's like the grind is just that early piece where you have to just do it.
And if it feels like a grind, that means it's probably really worth doing.
Yeah, probably. Because
you suck at it or it's really hard and you're learning a lot or whatever it is.
Or it's worth improving your processes to make it a little bit less of a grind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll still have to get done and it will still be a grind so you can reduce it. Because when you identify something as a grind, it means it's just a thing that's got to get done or a thing that can be – done better if you just think about it a little bit more, but in all cases, it's just a thing you have to do. Mm-hmm. But I like the idea of a grind though because it's focused on habit and getting into that zen state where it's just
you and the work.
It's just you and the work. This is the thing that I got to do. And when you're in the grind, it's less about discovery of your capability and more about just practice of the capability that you have with the sort of slow improvement that comes along with that. But that's where you get to kind of get into this nice little mental zen state where you just
– there is one downside of the grind. Which is that phonetically it should be pronounced grind.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So that's
but there's already a word grinned pronounced that way, and so you know the word rules people's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I think the word rules people's don't really care if multiple words sound exactly.
No,
the
not
same.
In general, but they did in this case.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. There's just some weird specific thing.
They're like, we can't have this. Maybe the normal word rules people were off that day, and then the next day they had a temp. Filling in,
uh-huh.
and they were like, "Oh, grind." Yeah, okay, we got
good enough.
Yeah,
move on.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. So is a grind related to a rind in some way?
Yes.
Okay,
there's just an extra G in there.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
so it is how they're related. Yes.
Also, over the break, we played Slay the Spire, which I want to talk about for two reasons. One is fucking great.
Yeah,
and the other is it has an interesting backstory, which Sam knows more about.
Yes. So when
what is Slay the Spire? Which probably
So Slay the Spire is a roguelike deck building game, which is sounds very weird because the whole idea of deck building is usually that you get to keep all the things that you've been building into your deck, which are cards, right?
So yeah, usually in a deck builder, you also you design out of all the 1,000 cards you have, you design all these custom decks that you bring to different situations.
Magic the Gathering, Hearthstone, Pokemon.
So the twist on this one is that you basically don't actually design the deck because it disappears every time you lose the game. And so
you design it, but you've only got the one.
Yeah. And so as you complete more battles in the game, then you get more cards, and you sort of you're slowly over the course of like a run up the spire in this case. Then you collect more and more cards, you build up more and more of a cool kit, but each time you die, the whole thing disappears. And so then you have to start over, which maybe on its face sounds kind of counterintuitive as a fun thing. But the reality is what it does is it removes all of that sort of, to me, kind of just tedious overhead that comes with deck building and replaces it just with the fun part of having a cool card game, which is the randomness.
It removes an enormous amount of balance issues.
Yeah.
You know, because if you have to – if people can build an ever-evolving, like, very specific deck that does something super, super well, then that only works in a handful of contexts. I mean, as a game designer, you also have to design the context in which these different design decks could work. And it's very easy for players to come up with strategies that just completely crush everything the designer came up with. And, you know, it's
all. The thing is, you could still come up with those strategies in this case, but you have to rely on luck to be able to sort of fulfill them a little bit.
And sometimes you'll come across opponents that just completely mitigate whatever strategy you had.
Yep.
And well, there's a couple other cool things about this. One is it's not a PvP game. It's not player versus player, which so far most other deck building games I've seen focus on player versus player, which means the cards have to be balanced against themselves, like against all the same shit. So that's kind of a weird thing. And then also your opponents don't use cards.
Yeah, you're monsters. They're doing their own thing.
Yeah, you're fighting. You're a character and you've got all these different abilities. You're fighting monsters, and the different kinds of monsters have like they've got some AI and they've got moves that they do each turn. And as you fight the different kinds of monsters, you start to learn what they're capable of and what kinds of things they're going to do. But they are not playing cards. They're not showing you their cards. They're not using the exact same moves as you. Yeah. And so it actually really opens up the game on the side of the cards for having all kinds of really zany combinations of things that can
happen. Yeah, it's a very smart design move because essentially, what it lets them do is, like you said, because you don't have to balance them against each other, you can do all sorts of just zany stuff. And you don't have a lot of this blowout that usually happens with card games. So it's a very interesting game. So I did my usual thing of, I'm going to go read about it, see what's going on. And a number of things I thought were interesting. One is that we learned that they used Heroku, which is a web app thing.
It's Heroku's – it's basically – it's being able to spin up a server that somebody else is running, it's just it's one of many services that do that, where instead of you having to run a server yourself, you can just do it there. So, and Heroku makes it very, very easy to do that, especially like if you want to like run a Python app or a Node app. They have all the infrastructure in place where instead of you having to go now set up a server, even if it's theirs, and like program it and tell it how to run all those things or whatever, you just basically say, I want a Node server. Here's my program. Right. And then it just runs it for you.
Right. Yeah. So they use Heroku to build basically a balance dashboard because the game's in early access. I think it goes into 1.0 next month or maybe this month, which is very exciting. But in early access, the big question was like, okay, we have all these cards. There's like 250 cards. How the hell do you balance those? Of course, as a designer, you can't necessarily get insight into every single combination of how these things are going to come together. And so they built this backend that basically lets them watch use of the cards to see like are there things people just literally don't ever take, or things that they always take that you need to sort of keep an eye on. So there's some really interesting stuff there. And then on top of that, in early access, they had a really interesting sort of trajectory. We've been just looking at like how games launch and things to look out for and that sort of thing in the studio with Levelhead and things that maybe we can do better. Because one of the things we did not do and that Crashlands really didn't permit that much was, using influencers in a big way. Because Crashlands is basically a really chilled out solo game. And so it's not as fun to like watch someone stream it because there's not a lot of action happening. And so Slay the Spire, interestingly, for its first like 2 weeks when it launched in early access, didn't really actually get any traction at all. And then and they were the ones who handled their own PR and stuff. So they sent out keys. They did all this stuff.
Now, to be fair, the art style of the game is a bit rough.
Yeah, it's a little rough. It's a painted style, but it's a little rough. And so
it's not exactly sort of leaping out in the Steam store as a standout triple-I kind of a game.
You know? And so someone in China, a Chinese streamer, picked it up like 2 weeks in. And then apparently the game just just flew off the rails at that point. Now, they're selling like bonkers. So I don't know.
Their subreddit has almost 40,000 people in it.
It's crazy. Yeah. And you can see the thing is like the game is really good, but it's one of those things where if you're just looking at it through the Steam store without necessarily any reference for reviews and that sort of thing, like those early buyers, you probably wouldn't buy it because the art is.
No, I overlooked it quite a few times.
Oh yeah, actually. Yeah, I know I've seen it a lot of times in the store.
Every time I saw it, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, well, we talk about it. I mean, people buy games actually largely based on the art and the visuals up front. And then, if you have an influencer, that's where you can actually get someone to buy the game, I think, because of the game. Yeah. And so that's essentially what happened.
And if you get enough success, then people tell each other about it. Yeah. And the same way that these two guys are now telling all you listeners about this game, right?
Exactly.
Because it was really good and it causes you to want to share that experience with other people. You just got to – we talked about this a lot. It's like, oh, yeah, you can – and we're looking at different design choices they made too, and things they didn't do that that we thought were funny. So I know I was watching Sam and Seth play a bit and saw Seth get to the end game and beat the final boss. And then I was expecting something really big to happen. And then just a little button came up that was like,
proceed.
and then I was like,
this big heart thing dangling from the ceiling and you stab it a bunch of times. I'm not quite sure what that means. And then it's over.
And then some numbers come up, and that's really it. But there was no feeling of celebration, that you had done this one. And it took, Sam said it took him 7 hours for me to do it the first time. He taught Seth a bunch of stuff, so it only took Seth a few hours. It's clearly a big achievement. And from a game design perspective, it feels like a lot of juice should have gone into that moment, and it didn't. And then we kept making the joke as we were seeing these things. It's just like, well, if you make a good enough game in terms of just gameplay, then you can get away with not doing this stuff. Absolutely. But that always comes back again to if you can get someone to play the game in the first place.
Yeah.
And that's the trick. It's either your visuals have to be spectacular, so people just want it. They want to get into that world and see what it's about. Or you have to somehow otherwise convince them by having them convince each other in some way.
Yeah. So everybody should play this game.
It's good,
I think. And it's also got that. Even if I'm not really into deck building games, but I'm into this one. And I think it has this really approachable aspect to it where your starting deck has only four different kinds of cards in it. Mm-hmm. You got five attack cards, five defend cards, and then two kind of slightly quirky cards that do something interesting. So you start out with this really simple set of things that you can do. Mm-hmm. And so the learning curve is very easy, because then every time you defeat a monster, you get presented with three cards and you pick one. Mm-hmm. And then you defeat a monster, three cards, pick one. So you just build up your deck one card at a time. And because you've decided every single card that goes into it, then it's very easy to build that deck and there's no weird convoluted card management system that goes on. Like, you just have what you have and it's very easy to get into. So
And then if you like that, there's a board game called Clank that has a remarkable degree of similarity to this one as a physical board game that my wife and I really, really like. So I can't recommend that one enough. It's a similar sort of PvE deck building kind of game, except all players are playing against each other, but not with their card decks. With their card decks are playing against the dungeon they're crawling through, but then only one of the players can actually win in the thing. So
clank.
Cool.
With slay an exclamation the spire, mark.
So there's slay the spire and clank.
Yeah. Cool. Sometimes it's good to play just a nice physical board game.
Yeah. It's super nice.
And look at people with your human eyes into their human eyes.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a good thing to do. Let's get on some questions. These questions come from our listeners over at podcast.bscotch.net. If you'd like to get your question onto a future episode, you can go there and then maybe it'll happen. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll happen for you. Maybe you'll get lucky.
Maybe
it's going to happen. Maybe it's not going to happen. I don't know. I don't know, guys.
Is that the question?
First question.
I was turning into a Family Guy skit.
Yep.
Yeah. I wanted to see how long I could make that go before you guys
got enraged
about it.
All right. 12 seconds.
First question comes from Dead Earth Man. Have you ever been in a public place like a coffee shop and heard your butterscotch shenanigans splash screen jingle? What was your feeling? It happened to me, and it was a freaking amazing. I wanted to hug that kid, but that would be weird. Way to resist that impulse.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, that was wise.
Yep. Have you seen someone playing in public?
I don't think I have, because I think – in most places, of course, people don't have their sound on if they're being responsible human beings. It's clearly this was a kid.
That's why
I wanted to know this kid. Kids aren't responsible. That's probably why I had the music.
That's
on.
Why it happened.
Yeah. But in other cases, you know, people, it's impolite to look at people's screens, so you don't know what they're doing, but their screens are never facing you anyway. So you'd have to really work at it. And then everybody has a headphoned up or has their sound off.
Yeah.
So I don't think I've ever experienced.
Seeing one of our games in the wild.
Yeah. Like actually seeing or knowing that somebody was playing one of our games.
But that is the idea with the jingle and also with the merch and stuff is the problem that we have, which is that our people who like our games out in the wild can't find each other because it's such a private experience. So I'm glad that you heard it. And so that someone, you know.
Maybe we need to make some feeling. Phone cases in the merch store.
Maybe we should.
Because people don't like – I know I don't like to put stickers on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Or it just feels too permanent of a
but a modification. Case, a case is fine.
Yeah, case – just snap it on there. But if we had some
– we would have to use something like Zazzle because they'll print it onto any phone case.
Because the problem is there's so
freaking many phones.
There are a lot. But even if we only did a handful of the most – like the most popular Android or two and the most popular iPhone or two and – just left it at that.
I think they do a pretty good job printing onto like hard physical things. They don't do a very good job with t-shirts. No.
Yeah.
But with like we got mugs once and those were pretty good through Zazzle. Yeah, they're a little pricey, but
yeah.
That might be a thing.
We may need to explore. Yeah. But this whole idea of how do we help people signal.
Yeah. Because it is so fun to find someone who likes the things you like. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Because when it comes to things like t-shirts and stuff, which because I would buy other things before I would buy a t-shirt related to you know some company that I wanted to that I was into, and I think things like being able to somehow showcase like really good art or your favorite character or whatever, in a just a little bit more subtle of a way that doesn't determine your dress code,
like an eyelid tattoo
or just an eyeball tattoo.
Yeah.
The problem with an eyeball tattoo is that every time you blink, you can't see it anymore.
Right? Yeah, that's why you also get the eyelid tattoo.
Yeah, you have to do both.
it's just the same
it's
tattoo.
It's a complimentary thing. You could also just get contact lenses.
Ooh, you could. You know how you can get those things like those? You can get a popsicle. Remember doing this as kids? You get a popsicle stick and you put like on both sides of it, you put a different – slightly different picture and then you just like spin it
exactly
in your hands.
I was thinking. It's called thaumatrope.
A thaumatrope? Sure. Yeah. It's a thaumatrope.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
You could do that with your eyelids.
You could do that with your eyelids. Yeah. You could blink super fast and then have an animation.
Yeah. You could do a two-frame animation. You go like this and then it could be something. You know,
it could be something.
I guess the people couldn't see me blinking rapidly just then.
No, they could
hear, but
I feel like our fans would really be into this.
Yeah.
You know, just getting those needles stabbed into their eyelids.
Absolutely.
And
who wouldn't be
wearing the contacts and everything?
You could turn your eye and do the thaumatrope.
Yeah. We could also do stuff like, you know, if our fans want to signal to other players, like, yeah, I'm playing a butterscotch game, we could have a thing where maybe like when your character dies, your phone melts. You know, so that way if somebody sees you playing your phone and then all of a sudden you get third degree burns on your hands, like, hey, that's a butterscotch fan.
Uh-huh. I mean, our games kind of already do that with how fast they consume batteries.
That's true. We just need to turn it up just a little bit more.
We could also install, some sort of one of those, was it rootkit?
Yeah.
We can install a rootkit device so that it actually.
So that when you plant the phone, it grows into a phone
tree. That. Yeah. Yeah. You plant it on the ground, turn it into a butterscotch tree. Yeah. But also when you turn on any one of our games, we just force your volume all the way to the max.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Just for the jingle part and then let it go back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, actually, we could have it because you can ask for permissions for all kinds of stuff when people install it. So presume because alarm apps can ask for permission where they can supersede your
system volume,
right? Yeah. So if we just sneak that permission in there.
Just sneak it in.
Swap the alarm sound with the jingle.
Yeah, and we only use it for that though. So, the jingle will go on and it'll go back to mute.
But just deafeningly loud, and it'll ignore the headphone jack.
It'll also just ignore the physical limitations of your device.
And reality.
Yeah, it's just going to scream
reverberate
into the
through time and space.
Yeah,
rootkits
can do that, right?
You
can do
that. Yeah, well,
I assume so.
That's an advanced permission is to allow your phone to broadcast sound waves through time and space.
Yeah,
yeah. So we'll do that. I feel like that would probably get the job done.
Yeah, I think so.
Next question comes from Retro Banana Man NL. What do you guys eat for breakfast?
Ooh, I had nothing.
I don't know why he said it that way.
It's pretty weird.
Is it weird or is it awesome? Because
I don't know. There's a fine line.
So, like any proper millennial,
Sam eats avocado toast.
Avocado toast.
He
My wife is all about it.
They take three pictures of it.
It's a super food.
We don't take any pictures of our avocado toast.
I've seen your Instagram. Do you have an Instagram?
I don't even have an Instagram. Wait, I do actually. But I think
you've seen Instagram?
There's just some zoomed in pictures of bugs on it. I just think they're so cool. So
bugs are pretty neat.
They're pretty neat.
Are they sitting on avocados?
I wish. So actually, no, I don't wish, because then they'd be avocado bugs. And I don't want that.
That's shit.
Good. I mean, if they're just hanging out there, it's probably fine.
Whatever. Who knows? I don't know what they're doing with avocados.
Can't trust them.
You can't hang out around an avocado and eat it.
What if they're protecting the avocados? You know, from
Are they assassin beetles? Are they? I see. Are they praying mantises?
Who are they protecting them from?
Spiders.
Okay. Spiders love avocados. Yeah. So either that or sometimes nothing.
Avocados do kind of look like giant spider butts. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
they do.
They do.
That's probably why spiders love them so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're like,
they're like, ooh, look at that.
Look at that giant spider butt.
It's just a natural attraction. What are you gonna do? Either that or just some oatmeal or nothing. So sometimes I do intermittent fasting. So instead of eating immediately upon waking up, I wait until lunchtime or something after not eating for the evening. So just kind of keep my wits.
Intermittent fasting is a funny name for a thing, because anytime you're not eating, you're fasting.
I know.
So I'm intermittently fasting right now.
Yeah.
It's a long form intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
You know?
It's medium mittent. Here's a question about oatmeal.
What the hell does mittens
mean? How did oats win the breakfast war for which meal people eat?
I'm sure it was just a marketing thing. The more I've learned about even cultural traditions, I'm like, someone just marketed this and now here we are.
Well, because it was a combination of marketing and lobbying, presumably.
I mean, you got to be honest about oatmeal. It tastes like nothing.
It does. You literally
It's just carbs.
You have to put stuff on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't just have
probably
oatmeal.
A better, more general question that would get at this is, why do we have dessert for breakfast?
Right. Well, because apparently our options are pancakes, which taste like nothing, and oatmeal, which tastes like nothing.
So you have to put sugar on them.
The only way to wake up in the morning and feel something is to cover that shit with Cool Whip sugar, brown sugar. Well,
we could have ended up with savory ones, you know, where you put meat in there and some spices.
Mm. Well, that's where eggs come from. Also, how come egg landed in the morning? Oh, I know why eggs are breakfast food. People go out
and pick up
the eggs from the chickens. And exactly. Then just make.
But the chickens will just keep sitting there. You can go get the eggs at any time.
Yeah, but you want to get them, you know, super hot.
You want to get them fresh.
Yeah, but do they lay them at night?
I don't know. I don't know what chickens
do. If they're super fresh, you just need to be out there watching.
It's probably just part of the morning routine. You know, you get up, you go grab the eggs, you bring
them in. Butter.
Churn that butter.
Yeah, are chickens like round-the-clock egg producers, or is it –
round the cluck.
So this is one of those traditions that people think of eggs as a breakfast food for a reason that used to make a lot of sense and now makes no fucking sense,
you
could eat eggs for lunch, breakfast, lunch, dinner. They're a great food.
I used to eat eggs for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. That was my my money food.
And that's my go-to evening. So in the evening, if I get home and then I don't want to make dinner, my wife doesn't want to make dinner.
There's some eggs in a pile.
Just fuck all of this dinner making stuff.
Fuck all
stuff.
Of it.
Yes.
Then sick of it.
Yeah. Just if you make up some oatmeal and then you
cover that with honey.
Cook an egg. Mm. You know, nice runny, you know, fried egg, right? Throw that in there. Just kind of stir it up. There's some peanut butter in there.
Interesting.
There's some spicy shit in there. Oh my God. It's so good.
Sweet, spicy, and savory. Oh,
yeah. Whoa. Wow.
You're changing the breakfast.
If you take out the oats, that sounds pretty good.
It would probably be even better. Yeah. The oats are mostly just there to
fill it out.
To provide
fill out the space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I'm trying to drink just a cup of coffee a day so that when I want to get super jazzed,
when I want to get those laser eyes,
then I can actually do it on purpose.
Yeah. You gotta ride the line.
But I was thinking.
Yeah.
You know.
And then what happened?
What about drinking coffee in the afternoon?
Yeah, that's fine.
Because everyone's like, do not.
I always do. Or did.
The half-life of caffeine in your bloodstream is supposedly 6 hours.
Right. Yeah.
But that's its half-life, which means it never goes away because it's a Zeno's paradox.
It's an asymptote.
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 Yeah. So, I don't know. Because that means 12 hours later, you've got a quarter of the caffeine.
Well, because I was thinking, I was like, it'd be nice because I'm doing some of this other, you know, art stuff or these other resolution things in the evening. If I should have one cup of coffee in the morning and then, you know, finish the work day, do gym stuff, maybe take like a power nap along with a cup of coffee right when I get home at like 5 or 6.
Maybe have decaf because that's a little bit, or something.
Yeah, it's a significant reduction. Yeah. So you just get a little bit of pick me up.
But be just me more alive the whole day as opposed to
after cutting. So I now have a very just bizarre relationship with caffeine. It basically it either puts me to sleep or gives me a headache or cures my headaches or makes me stay awake. Just depending on context. It's the
magical random wonder drug.
it dries out my eyeballs. It's just really bad. So
does it ever enwetten your eyeballs?
It does not. It's like the one thing I wish it would do that it does not.
That's
do.
A word, right?
Enwetten.
Enwetten.
You just put N in front of anything and it's a word now.
Yeah. Or M for like embiggen.
Yeah. Why N versus M?
I think it's N if it's a soft consonant and it's M if it's a hard consonant.
So that's why it's
embiggened versus in.
So if you want to go on a, if you want to bark on a journey, then you have to embark.
Yeah, you wouldn't embark. That's ridiculous.
Embark? No way.
Embark.
No way.
Uh huh. Yep. Got it.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Something about
your caffeine.
Oh, yeah, caffeine. But what I have learned, because I keep on cutting caffeine out, and then it always creeps its little insidious claws back in. Mm-hmm. But what I've learned is that once you cut out caffeine, especially if you've been a caffeine addict for a long time, if you just cut that shit out, then you can feel it at any level. So if you drink some decaf, you're like, ooh, I can kind of – kind of tingles a bit.
My eyes are a little
– Exactly.
I can feel my ass.
And that's been the problem is that I tried to cut all of my caffeine out and then kind of replace it with decaf because I was like, you know, get it out of there. But my tolerance basically also went down. So that the end result comes out the same. And my only option now is just to not have any at all.
Damn.
Yeah. Well, but that does mean it'll work for you if what you want to do is just
– Yeah, I want to be able to use it like a tool.
And then feel alive.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Also, I noticed it did even out my days. So I used to be like super jazzed in the morning. Then like 2 p.m. I would have a hard
– Well, yeah. I mean it is a pretty wild thing to do, to wake up, take some speed –
Basically, right?
That decays over time, and then just say, this is what my day is going to be. The best part of my day is this moment right now.
When I'm on
and
drugs.
And I'm just going to get more – right. And I'm going to get more and more tired.
Yep.
Just until –
I found I go one cup of coffee, and then it's a cup of decaf kind of like mid to late morning, and then another one after lunch. Mm. That works good. It keeps me even.
Yep.
And then I can still sleep at night without vibrating in the bed, you know?
What about the breakfast stuffs?
I eat a banana.
It's good.
That's banana.
A banana, if one is around. Mm-hmm. A manana banana.
Yeah.
Manana banana.
And banana means morning.
Morning?
Yeah. Which one's tomorrow?
Either oi or I. Oi?
Manaro.
Oi is today.
I don't know. Oi is Spanish is clearly now? Rusty.
It must
Maybe
be
we shouldn't be venturing a guess because I don't think we actually know enough Spanish.
It must be manaro, though, I think.
Manaro.
It's a pretty safe
manana
guess.
Manana is the morning.
Sounds totally wrong. I can't remember what it is, but it is not that.
But yeah, so if there's a perfectly ripe banana, the problem with bananas is that their ripened state is sort of this weird transient moment. They're mostly green as fuck, you know,
then they're just desiccated
for weeks on end, and then there's about.
There's an 8-second window.
Yeah. Well, and during that whole window, though, they're like a little too green still, maybe. You know, you're not really sure. And then all of a sudden, they're like a perfect yellow for one glorious morning. And then they start turning real brown.
Mm-hmm. But then there's a surprise because you peel it and it has somehow turned into a weird gray mush on 2/3 of the banana. And then you're like, I mean, it is edible, but I don't want it.
Yeah, I assume it's because – I think it just is true that – before bananas get to you, somebody punches all of you. Because there is no banana I've ever received that didn't have big brown mushy
spot. I used to work in a grocery store. Seth and I both did.
I assume that you were hired as banana punchers.
That's part of the
job. Yeah, they'd be like, when you put those bananas out, make sure you let them know who's boss. Yeah. Really just sock them.
Bananas are very snarky.
They are. You got to slap them around before they get on the shelf.
They really just...
Yeah, so the reason they're quiet when you buy them is because
they've been punched.
Put them in line.
They just can't keep their opinions to themselves. You know? Well, until they've been dealt
with. Yeah, I remember they'd be like, hey, why don't you go punch the bunches? You know, that was
thing. Your morning bunch punch.
Yep.
The bunch punch.
Pisses me off that they push that job all the way down to the end point of the distribution chain. You know, because
you could have punched them earlier.
Yeah, we're busy.
The problem is once you punch them, they start to dissolve.
I want organic pre-punched bananas. Yeah. You know? I don't want to punch them, you know?
Yeah. It does seem like you could also – that if you could just figure out the right amount of punching so that you could just, you know, minimize the bruising. Like just enough to keep them quiet.
Just to keep them – shut their stupid banana mouth.
Right. But then otherwise –
this is the real problem. You're talking about getting organic pre-punched bananas. What you really want is GMO bananas that come genetically punched.
Yeah, right.
So that
– Yeah.
so that they grow up punched on the vine. Uh-huh. They grow on a vine, right? Banana vines.
Pretty sure.
So that way nobody has to punch them. And now those people can get back to stocking shelves and mopping.
Mm-hmm. Or
– and checking people out and bagging groceries.
Or those – what are those those shrimp? Those punching shrimp?
Mantis shrimp.
Mantis shrimp.
They hate bananas. They hate perfect.
Yeah. If you just throw them all – like get a big, big saltwater tank with just tons and tons of punching mantises.
Mm-hmm. Dump those banana bunches.
Because they punch so hard that they shatter aquarium glass, which means those bananas are fucked.
But the bananas are so hard before they're ripe.
That's true. They're hard as a rock.
It's
that's true.
Aquarium glass.
So if you punch them before they're actually ripe, well, they're still green and hard as a rock, then only the – because the problem is that humans can't punch bananas hard enough.
That's why you got to wait until they're ripe.
Right. Exactly. that's why you can't punch them until they're in the store because they – are suddenly ripe only in the store.
They're ripe. They're punchable. They're ready to
go. Exactly. So if you need something with the strength of a mantis shrimp to punch green bananas.
Oh, I feel like we've solved it.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Breakfast.
Yes. Breakfast. Oh, yeah. So I eat a banana. and then a handful of delicious peanuts or cashews.
Why is that?
Because he's just got a big bucket of them and he grabs a handful.
Because I need
a bucket in the office.
It's convenient.
Because I need protein and fat. And that's really the only thing you need. After that, everything else is super, like vitamins. Who cares?
Pro tip, if you want to have a better morning, just have some protein or fat.
That's all I need.
Everything else keeps it even. Yeah, everything else is just food confetti.
Yep. Usually because we have
food. We're there to celebrate the protein and
the fat. We have free snacks here in our super dope office. And so I go downstairs, usually in the morning, grab a bag of peanuts.
Yep.
Free meaning we paid a lot of money for them.
But they feel free.
Well, we don't have to keep paying more money for them.
That's the best kind of free.
Yeah. I'm not getting nickel and dimed for these nuts.
We're getting granded.
We're getting dollared. Yeah. There is something more satisfying. This is something I always felt like if I'm paying for insurance or whatever, I'm like, or a phone bill, I'm like, can I just do this all now?
Yep.
I pay as much as I can now. Get it done for like 6 months and then just leave me alone.
Yeah. I do this with my car insurance also. They're like, if you pay for all 6 months right now, you get $100 off.
You're like, shut up and take it.
That's what I would have done anyway, but I'll just go ahead and pretend that I wouldn't have.
When they say you get $100 off, what they mean is they're not going to charge you more money later.
Yeah, but it is crazy actually because that discount is – what is it? It's like 18% or something.
But who are you using? I need to get on this.
Progressive auto insurance.
I'm on Farmers.
That's a very progressive policy that they have.
It is. I'm now a Diamond member because I've been with them for.
Because you're carbon.
Yeah, because I'm a carbon-based
life form.
That's for the carbon-based type of beings.
Yep. Also, for breakfast, I eat peanut butter on toast. That's it. That's the whole thing.
There you go.
All right. But it is multigrain.
What kind of peanut butter? Are you using sweet peanut butter or?
What the fuck is that?
Sweet. Just the regular peanut butter.
Oh, yeah.
It's versus.
I tried to get the.
I got on the unsweetened train, which. Which is just peanuts that are crushed, that are, I assume, pre-chewed. Right.
Yeah. And then when you open up the jar, it's like, hey, here's a nice like bucket of peanut oil as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you kind of mix it up and then you're like, and then.
Yeah.
It looks disgusting.
It looks horrible.
It does. But after having adapted to it, I actually can't eat regular peanut butter anymore.
Because it's just so sweet.
It's basically candy.
Yeah, it tastes like I'm eating a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Yeah, yeah I'm working my way down because I'm making my way downtown.
Walking fast.
Walking fast.
Yeah.
Faces passed in your home.
I started with white bread and sugar butter.
I have to say, I was always amused when I saw you eating like your stack of four slices of white bread.
So now I'm on.
Because white bread is angel food cake.
Yes. It is. So now I'm on whole grain, 15 grain, you know, just like.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Just the brownest, heartiest of breads. Mm-hmm. Like when I'm eating it, I can feel whatever the things are on it.
Basically a horse.
And I'm wondering, like, 15 grain, like. What the fuck are all these grains? I didn't really keep track, but there's 15 of them.
Did you read the back? They're probably on there.
No. I just looked at the outside edge of the crust, and I'm like, yep, there's 15.
There's all of them right there.
They got to put them out there so that you know.
Are you getting the ones with the grains and the seeds?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the good stuff.
It's 15 grains, 39 seeds.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And there's a partridge mixed in there, just like ground up.
Yep.
So it gives you extra protein. Yeah. So I got that now, and I mean two slices, right? So I'm instead of like four slices of angel food cake covered in sugar butter, now I'm on two slices of whole grain bread
covered
in sugar butter. Mm-hmm. So then my next phase is regular peanut butter. Yeah.
It is actually, yeah. So that's when I was talking about my egg in oatmeal with peanut butter. It's the unsweetened, just regular old peanut butter.
Oh.
Because you're using peanut butter like you get in various kinds of like Asian dishes and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
The first time I had peanut butter in a savory meal when I was, you know, in college probably, because I didn't know that that was a thing you were allowed to do. I was very confused, but now it's one of my absolute favorite things in the whole fucking universe.
Delicious.
It is now so... It's almost kind of sad that I missed so much of my life not eating peanut butter and savory foods.
But you had to have that to appreciate.
Exactly. It's part of the grind.
Yep.
You know? It's part of the grind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, all this talk about peanut butter does make me wonder who uses crunchy peanut butter and for what?
Complete maniacs.
I think it's
– you cannot spread it on anything.
No. Mm-mm. And if you want it crunchy, just put some peanuts in your peanut butter.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm not on this train.
But again – What problem is that solving? I used to think I wanted crunchy peanut butter. So I was like, this sounds great. And then I got it. And then I tried to spread it. And it just turned into a weird ball of peanuts.
Yeah, you can't
stuck together with peanut butter.
That is true.
That's my main complaint. I think eating it's fine. I don't really care about
that. But you don't – like if you're eating good bread though, so bread that already has nuts all over, seeds and grains.
Yeah, and there's probably peanuts in there.
There should be some texture.
Yeah.
You're right.
Like the problem – so I think it's for people who are still eating angel food cake. And who toast the ever living fuck out of it so it's just like black and charred and hard as a rock. So you can spread that on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's the market segment. I think.
There you go.
Yes.
So people eat burnt angel food cake for breakfast.
This has been an enlightening breakfast discussion.
Yeah.
I feel like we solved a lot of problems.
We really
today.
Got in there.
At minimum, we learned some things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Next question comes from Anonymous.
Anarnium
says, do packages come in any other platonic solids besides the cube? In Crashlands, we have the package.
Oh, okay.
The package is the thing that you are tasked with delivering because you're a delivery person who delivers packages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Levelhead, you're training GR18 to deliver packages as well. And the packages are the same ones from Crashlands,
mm-hmm.
which begs the question. Are there other shapes of package, or do they all look the same?
They are all the same shape because their inside is like a TARDIS.
Yep. So you can put anything in there, and they found that that was sort of the optimized shape for being able to easily store, ship, and deliver them.
Yes.
They can stack them.
Now, there is a rumor that the Bureau has been working on spherical packages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. These are the plutonic-shaped ones.
Right, which are optimal for rolling.
What is plutonic?
Well, he said Platon. So it's like Plato's sort of like ideal forms, and you know, it's old timey.
Okay,
you know, old timey philosophy.
I've heard of this. I've heard of this.
So Plutonic is shaped like the planet, former planet Pluto.
That was where they were.
So
like,
he's talking about the Platonic, which is right. So right. Whatever. But we're talking Plutonic now for the spherical ones, just like the planetoid.
Gotcha. Yeah,
got it.
There's also dog shaped Plutonic ones, but those are copyright issues.
Yeah,
we can't touch that. So
yep. And they don't roll as well.
No.
Because they're shaped like a dog.
They do not.
Very good for Monopoly pieces, though, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real nice.
So there may be some rollable round packages in the works, but we don't know. We don't know anything about that.
I don't know if they'll finish them in time.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Next question comes from Serator. As a tester, I always think in edge cases. So about the level head QAQ, is a player allowed to have more than one level in QA at the same time? If yes, are all of those bumped up in the queue equally by playing levels of other players? P.S. Very entertaining and educational podcast. Thanks for that. Smiley face without a nose.
Good.
Thank you.
So, yes, you can have multiple levels in queue. So, again, just to back up on how this whole system works, if you build a level in level head and then you publish it up to the community to play, it instead of going straight into the, you know, the pile of levels that are published, it first goes into QA. And if you want to get it out of QA, you basically need to play some levels and then put some of your exposure bucks that you earn from playing other people's levels in the QA basement onto your levels. So the question is, what happens if you have multiple levels? Did they all split evenly? Do they somehow waterfall? What's the situation? We had a big discussion about this, try to figure it out. What we came up with was that you basically all you do is you just click and hold on a level and it'll start dumping in your exposure bucks. So you can sort of selectively do it, which means that if you get a bunch of exposure bucks, and you can split them up evenly if you want. You can be like, I like this level most, I just want to get this one through, etc. You can also see when you go into QA, the levels are at the top. So you can actually see how much exposure bucks are sort of required to be, really at the top of the stack. So you can be like, okay, I'm going to put, I'm going to put a bunch of just into one so I can get this one out and then do that sort of thing. So it ends up becoming this weird little mini game of sorts, which is really fun.
little bidding war.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah. You get to for now, you get to decide.
For now.
Presumably people are going to hack the shit out of this thing and ruin everybody else's experience. And then we'll have to come up with an alternative.
Yeah. The alternative will be to put all those people in jail.
Yep.
We actually talked about what it would be like to make an in-game jail. But if we detected that a person was doing something bad, we just put them in there.
Yeah. They would boot up their game and then they're just looking out through bars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're all the main menu's gone, whatever. All there is there's a character there standing at the bars.
They're just in jail now.
And you can just ask them you can just ask them how much longer you're in jail for, and that's all you can do in the game.
So it's just got a countdown timer on it.
Yeah. And every now and then your character will sigh. That's also one of the features that we wanted to work on.
And then say, why am I like this?
I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's something that we're working on as well.
Yeah. Actually, but the probably most to say is I didn't even do anything.
Well,
I got banned for no reason.
We can add some dialogue options so that you can make your case to the guard, which your case will be either I got banned for no reason, I didn't do anything.
Yep.
Everybody else was doing it, so it's fine.
Or this is the internet. This is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, this is the internet.
Information wants to be free.
Yeah.
So freedom of speech doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll give you some dialogue options so you can make your.
You can say the exact things that you would say.
Yeah.
But now and
now you don't. Context. Now we don't have to hear it. So perfect. That'll be really nice for us. All right. Next question comes from Farseer. What are your B-Scotch Stradamus predictions for which of Adam's body parts will fail next?
It's a good question.
Is your quest for self-improvement actually a mission to shed your mortal coils and ascend before Adam falls apart?
Yes.
Well, I guess I should probably give a status report on where I'm at right now.
Yeah,
because I haven't reported all of the new things. So now I've got my lower back is fucked.
Why?
What did you do?
When did this happen?
You do?
I'm just alive. And just
I
now
think you need more muscles on your back.
Yeah, I've been working on that, and that seems to have made it worse, actually. But, you know, whatever.
Well, in the short term.
In the short term.
It's always darkest before the
dawn. I'm going to continue working on it. If I learned anything from physical therapy, it's that all your problems are because of how weak you are.
Generally, yeah.
Just generally.
I think that's probably true.
So from now on.
Both sort of like emotionally.
Oh, yeah.
And physically.
Right. So from now on, I identify a physical problem, I'm just going to go exercise the things that are around that problem. And then either that'll kill me because that was a bad idea or it'll fix it, you know?
Because either way, problem solved.
Yeah, but the thing is
– either way, you're not hurt anymore.
Yeah, unless you're in really terrible, terrible pain or something is obviously very broken, medicine can't fix it. So I kind of feel like – and obviously this is not medical advice because this would be terrible medical advice. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, anytime something hurts now – I just have to go either try to hurt it worse or cure it in the process. Mm-hmm. Because if I hurt it worse, then I can get treatment.
I see.
And if I don't, I will have already treated it. And then it's a win-win sort of
scenario. So I just want to point out that you guys gave me a lot of shit when I got food poisoning and then ate a giant burrito to try to undo it.
Seems like the same
I sort feel of logic. Like I was maybe on the right track with that.
Uh-huh. You've been vindicated. Yeah. You know, took a couple of years.
It took a couple of years, but science finally caught up. Yes, if you get food poisoning, what you got to do is you got to push the poison through your body.
Yeah.
Yes.
With a burrito.
Yeah. It's basically it's a burrito cleanse.
Yeah. Well, it's more of a burrito. It's more of a burrito plunge. Like it kind of just pushes it through.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah. And if you're still feeling poisoned, got to get another burrito in there.
Just keep it down.
Keep on pushing
it down.
Keep
the pressure going.
Yeah. Just make sure there isn't new poison in the new burritos.
So wait, what's the status report on your various ailments?
So lower back, right? That's one of them. And I've got my left wrist. Oh, that's actually been slowly improving. So I think that might be on its way out. But also the past few days, in between two of my knuckles on my left hand has been a burning sensation. So that's new.
Oh,
that's new.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think...
Is that because of the third degree burn on your hand?
No, that's on my right hand.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's all right. But that was intentional. Removing. And actually, it's not a third degree burn because it was using liquid nitrogen. So I don't know.
It's a negative third degree burn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Is a 0 degree burn just kind of being alive? Is that just regular skin?
I think that's if you tell a bad joke at someone's expense.
Yeah. But it's like doesn't actually work.
Yeah.
It's like an emotional burn inside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yourself. So what do you think? What's the next part of you that appears to be failing?
So clearly my skeletal system is a real shit piece, which is really not how I thought things were going to go, you know? Like I've got some other shit pieces, you know, but but apparently it's my skeletal system.
You got the bones.
So I think
that's what they call it.
That guy's got a case of the bones.
He's got the bones. His bones are just not doing
shit bones.
Yeah, they're not doing bone stuff.
So my guess is because it seems my left arm is really problematic, and then my spine. So
it's probably related. Frankly, if you get burning sensations in your left arm and your spine,
it's between my knuckles. Though, so I'm pretty sure that's a
ulnar
muscle thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Who knows? Yeah. And the thing on my wrist definitely feels like a muscle thing.
So it's part of your thing for this year, trying to get this kind of like contained?
Yeah, that's part of the thing. So either I'm going to continue to just deteriorate in my musculoskeletal system. And my bet is that now that my left arm's all fucked up, it's now my right arm's turn. So,
okay.
So if I'm going to make predictions, it's my right arm's going to continue.
The question is,
my hot butt's coming back. That's my guess. It hasn't yet.
But it's coming?
But my guess is it's coming.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So what you got to do is you got to muscle up so you can bone yourself.
Yeah, that's true. If you lift weights, you're boning yourself.
You're going to get extra bones from lifting. Yeah.
Yep.
That's what's going to happen.
That's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Cool. And I'm going to eat a lot more cheese for calcium, because milk, whatever, it's fine.
Sorry, it seems like very tangentially related.
You could also do soy milk. That has good calcium too.
Does it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same as milk.
Is it added to it?
Yep.
You can also take a multivitamin. Those are good.
That's true. Mm-hmm. There's something less satisfying about just eating pills, though.
Yeah, it's not.
That's why you get the gummy vitamins.
Then you could eat pills. That's true.
Yeah, those are very satisfying. I love those things.
Yeah.
I do this. That's my daily fiber intake is those fiber gummies.
Mm-hmm. And apparently that bowl of weird oatmeal egg Dove. Yeah.
That's not a daily one, but that's very good. It does help.
Yeah. So there we go. So we're thinking because your right arm is fine, that's the next
problem. And then because my back is already fucked, it's going to continue to get more fucked.
We should do some deadlifts in the gym today.
That's probably not going to be good.
That'll get you right as rain. Yep. That's the burrito on burrito situation.
Yeah, that'll probably make my back just fold in half.
Yep. But in a good way.
But it'll
you have to fold in half to do a deadlift. So
I mean, like backwards, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You got to fold in half. You got to fold in half before you can fold
in quarters.
The whole way. You know, it's like you gotta walk before you can run.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Life is all about folding.
You got to fold in half before you can fold in whole.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think we'll leave it with that word of wisdom.
We're off to a great 2019.
2019. Love the work. Get shit done.
Mm-hmm.
Buckle down.
Stop sharpening your nose. Quit being weak.
Buckle up. Buckle down.
Can you buckle? What other directions can you buckle?
You can buckle anywhere. There's a buckle.
You can buckle in.
Buckle in. Buckle down. Buckle up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's 2019.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this week. We'd like to thank, for this year, even.
Whoa.
Yeah. But I guess this is coming out in 2019, so never mind.
Yep.
We'd like to thank our producer, Fat Bard, for making us sound good. Thanks to our community moderators who keep our Discord running. If you'd like to get more involved in the Butterscotch community, go to discord.gg/bscotch. Come say hello. If you'd like to adorn your body with Butterscotch merch, we have a shop over at shop.bscotch.net. If you'd like to send us something, we have a mailbox, which you can find the address for at mailbox.bscotch.net. And last but not least, if you'd like to buy us a cup of coffee and help keep the podcast going, you can do so over at moneygrab.bscotch.net. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Before I say goodbye, we could just tell people to go to podcast.bscotch.net because I'm pretty sure all of those links are there.
Mm. Are they?
I think so.
Are you sure we want people to see that? Podcast.bscotch.net.
You got to rebuild that sometime.
That's a fair question. But if more people are going to it, I'll have more of an impetus to actually, to replace it.
All right. Go to podcast.bscotch.net. Yeah. There's links.
Yeah. And then complain at me about how ugly it is so that I feel real bad and then therefore have to go fix it.
Yeah. Hopefully we get a big influx of questions for next week. That's like, why is the site here's so what ugly? I want.
Everybody just send an email to podcast@bscotch.net and just tell us how hideous that website is.
And then Sam will forward those to me.
As creatively as possible. Yeah, I'll let Adam know.
I'll be crying in the corner. Mm-hmm. And
then you'll get to fucking and then work.
Ideally, we could sort of trickle them out on a schedule. So every day, Adam just gets 3 new emails.
Ooh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, okay.
About how stack them up. Do your part. It's 2019.
Do your part.
Yeah.
Send an email.
That's just part of the grind. Yeah. Every day, you got to send us an email about how ugly
belittling the podcast.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.